Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
We have been in this series for a few weeks called Five Easy Ways to Wreck Your Life, which kind of sounds like an infomercial that went wrong, right? Like it should be like five easy steps to a great life, but five easy ways to wreck your life. And because it kind of has an infomercial feel, we have some amazing products up here. We've shown you sauna pants and pajama jeans. Today I want to point out Urine Gone. And listen, it eliminates stains and odors. And it says for people or pet accidents. So just in case you thought it was just for pets, it's also for those people accidents. You know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if you noticed this, but we have the world's largest underpants. This entire family is in the same. So like if it was a week where you didn't get around to doing your laundry, and at the end of the week it's like, what are we gonna do? The whole family between us, we only have one clean pair of underwear. No problem. We're going to get close to that. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. So what we're doing with these products is we're giving them away. How could you be the lucky winner? If you fill out a connection card today, then it will be entered in a drawing. This week, we're going to draw a name, let you know, have you come and pick up all these amazing products. And they could be yours if you fill out one of the connection cards today. Wanna let you know, 2 weeks from today, we are starting a brand new series. 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday, and we're really excited. We're gonna start a series, and I wanna encourage you to invite your friends to it, called Imagine Heaven. Here's what we're gonna do. There are about 13.5 million people in America who have been declared medically dead and then resuscitated, like they were legally dead, and then they're alive again because they were brought back to life. And people have been studying, what do those people say happened to them while they were dead? And not just in America, in India and other places. And is it common themes, or are they like all different? And how do they compare to what the Bible says happens to us after we die? This is going to be, I think, the most fascinating series we've ever done. Like, it's going to blow your mind in some really interesting ways. So there were some invite cards on your chair today. These are not for you. These are for you to bring home and give to a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, and invite them to come for Easter. I think they're going to be so intrigued by the topic when they hear it that they'll might even come back after Easter. Okay? But today, we are talking about wisdom. Wisdom, and it's pretty obvious that a lot of people act in ways that are less than wise. A woman in Los Angeles got burned when she attempted to self-exterminate bugs in her house by activating 30 fogger-style bug bombs in her house, including one in the kitchen area. An ignition source triggered an explosion that authorities say burned the woman, shattered all the windows in her house, and lifted her roof 3 inches off the house. A police spokesperson said that no more than four foggers should be used at the same time, and that the blast caused about $30,000 damage to her 800 square foot house. Not very wise, right? Paul and Bonnie Stiller were hospitalized in Andover Township, New Jersey, when they were injured by a quarter stick of dynamite that went off in their car. What happened? Well, they were driving along, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're bored, and they got this idea, we should light a stick of dynamite. Why it was in their car, I don't know. And throw it out the window and watch what happens. And so they did. They lit the dynamite, they threw it, but their window wasn't rolled down. It was still up, hit the window, and not good, right? Not very wise. Truth be told, we all do dumb things. We've all made poor decisions. We've all lived without wisdom. And some of those decisions have damaged our lives a little bit. Some maybe a lot of bit. And if you think about the things that if you could, you would take back, right? The things you would unsay, the people you would undate, right? The lies you would untell. And today, the fourth easy way to wreck your life, reject wisdom. Reject, or if you want to live a better life without regrets, choose wisdom. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I realize that wisdom is not like, it's not like a sexy topic, right? It seems kind of old-fashioned, sounds kind of boring. Wisdom is nice. We know it's good, but it's kind of like down on the list of priorities, right? Like no kid says, when I grow up, I want to be wise. And if one did, we'd think that kid is kind of weird, right? And telling someone to pursue wisdom sounds like saying, you should eat Cheerios every day for breakfast. And not the honey nut kind, not the fried, I mean like plain Cheerios, no sugar, plain Cheerios every day for the rest of your life. It might be smart, but it's kind of boring, right? Well, in this series, we've been looking at a guy named Solomon. Solomon became the king of Israel at about 1000 BC, and he had it all. But he wrecked his life. And he recorded in his personal diary, kind of a journal, the mistakes he made, and we have it as one of the 66 books of the Bible. It's a book called Ecclesiastes. And if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes, you can if you want to read along. If you have a Bible with you, if you don't have a Bible, not a problem. We put all the verses on the screen for you to read. And we also give out free copies of the Bible back at the Velcro Bar if you would like one. So check out what Solomon writes. Here's what's interesting about Solomon. He had all kinds of wisdom. Right? I mean, and then one of the ways he ends up wrecking his life is instead of continuing to apply it to his life, he starts rejecting wisdom, even though he knows it. And it's ironic because if anyone knew the value of wisdom, it should have been Solomon. Now listen to what he writes in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He wrote Proverbs, and here's what he wrote in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 3. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Really? Nothing you desire compares to with nothing? Really? I mean, like, what if you could have anything in the world? Well, like you got like a one wish kind of scenario. You could have anything in the world. What would you choose? Would you choose wisdom? Interestingly, Solomon was presented with that very choice. He was in a very unique situation in history. God came to him with this very unique offer. God says, anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. And Solomon chooses wisdom. What would you choose? Do you have anything you want? Maybe you'd be like, I'd just like some fat wads of cash, right? Or season passes to my favorite amusement park, season tickets to my favorite team, a trip around the world. What would you choose if you could get one thing? Solomon chooses wisdom. And he was a young guy. Like he could have said, I want a stable of Victoria's Secret models. Or I want a stable of Ferraris. Or I want a stable of Ferraris with Victoria's Secret models in the sea. He could have chosen anything, but he chose wisdom, and God gave it to him. He had incredible wisdom. So if anyone should have known the value of wisdom, should have been Solomon. And Solomon tells us time and time again, we have two options. We can reject wisdom, or we can choose wisdom. If we reject wisdom, we're going to live a life of foolishness. So check out Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Solomon says, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell. We all know that. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. He's saying, listen, have a heart of wisdom and realize even a little bit of foolishness will outweigh and undo a lot of wisdom. So make your decisions carefully, carefully. What if we were wise? What if we were wise? Like, what mistakes wouldn't we have made? In what ways would we be walking into a better future? Those of us who have kids, what kind of better example would we be setting for our children? What if we were wise? Maybe before we answer that question, and I want to, we need to kind of get our heads around, what is wisdom? Like how do wise people live? What about a wise person is different than everyone else? How do wise people live? So let's talk about that. First, wise people stop and think. Wise people stop and think. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent," prudent is another word for wisdom, right? "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways." Wise people stop and think. One time when I was like 13, 14 years old, I was in a basement and I was shooting a BB gun with my friend Adam Opplinger at a target that we had pinned to a wall, and the target kind of got all shot out, and so my friend Adam said, "I'll go change it," and so he went over to change the target, and I'm standing there, and it took him like a really long time, and I got bored. I get bored really easy, and so I shot him. I just shot him right in the butt. He was wearing shorts, and so there's like very little protection. And so he screams, and he's like, "I'm bleeding." And he got like furious. He just comes running over and just starts wildly throwing punches. And I'm wildly laughing because I thought it was hysterical. But it wasn't very wise, right? Wise people stop and think, and I didn't. But that was when I was a teenager. I don't do stupid things like that anymore, you know. Some of you don't know. Some of you were there a couple years ago. 4th of July fell on a Monday night. We have a Monday night church service. And so at the end of our service, we said, "Hey, let's all go over watch fireworks in the M parking lot." And so like a bunch of us all went to the M parking lot, watched fireworks. It was all right. And then they ended and everybody hung out, and like all the kids were running around with sparklers and the adults were standing around talking. I'm not really one to stand around and talk. I get bored easy. And so I got bored. And so I said to the guys, I said, "Hey, let's play catch with a lit sparkler." And they all agreed. Everybody was like, "Cool." And so we got in a circle. We started throwing a sparkler, but no one would really catch it. Like, they were all kind of like, "Oh." And then finally someone threw it to me. And like to show them what I'm talking about, I went, "The thing no one tells you is that a lit sparkler is basically wet fire. The fire is like super glue, like that, the wetness on it. And so when you do this and catch a lit sparkler, when you open your hand, it doesn't fall. It just stays stuck to your hand. When you start doing this, it stays and it's still lit. It's burning through your hand and it just won't come off." It was not very wise. It was not a wise moment. Wise people stop and think. I did not so much. Second, wise people weigh potential consequences. Wise people weigh potential consequences. They understand a basic fact about life. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Listen to what Solomon writes in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. He writes, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes." And it's kind of confusing, but basically saying, hey, actions have consequences. Did y'all hear about, it was in the news, about the Connecticut high school vice president who was asked to resign from her job? Why? Because she got angry and threw a cheeseburger at one of her students. Yeah. We have got some school administrators and teachers and educators here at Verve. Just take note, if you get angry and throw a cheeseburger at a student, you're probably going to lose your job, right? And that seems obvious, but what's interesting is how often we don't see what should be obvious. Right? It's like there's an obvious consequence, but we don't see it. Like if you go out to lunch every day, you're going to spend about at least $2,000 more a year than the person who brown bags it. And that's $2,000 that you could use for something else, like paying off your debt or going on a vacation. If you don't study for exams, well, consequences, you're not going to get the grades you want and you're not going to get into the college you want. If you regularly show up late for work, you're not going to be the one who gets the promotion and you may lose your job. If you sleep around, you're going to end up with low self-esteem. You don't value yourself enough, and that's just what always happens. If you spend too much money on a house, you overextend yourself, and so you can't really afford it, but you're just kind of putting a lot of your paycheck into that house, you're not going to be able to put any money into retirement. Read an article yesterday, 46% of Americans have nothing for retirement. And so the consequence is someday you're going to be in big trouble. If you say negative things about people on Facebook, you're going to end up wondering why you don't have any close friends and why people don't trust you. Yeah, I wonder. If you play catch with a lit sparkler, our actions have consequences, right? And wise people weigh the potential consequences of their actions. But one last thing about wise people. Wise people put God first. Wise people put God first. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, it says fear, the fear of the Lord. That's not talking about like being scared to death of God. What is he going to do to me? And I'm scared of God. And we know that because the Bible also says that when you know God and his love, it drives fear out of your life. So that can't be what it's talking about. I think when it says the fear of God, I think it's talking about reverence. That you have the utmost respect for God and who he is and what he says. Wisdom is putting God first. Why do you put God first? Well, part of wisdom is putting things in the right order. And when you're wise, you don't put things out of order, because when you put things out of order, everything gets messed up, right? Anyone like me, have you ever put your shirt on and you put like the first button in the second buttonhole, and then every button's in the wrong buttonhole, and then you like look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, like you look like a total nerd. You're like, what's wrong with it? Oh, right? Am I the only one who's ever, yes, okay, right? And you're like, what happened? Well, when you put the first button in the wrong buttonhole, everything's out of order now, right? And part of wisdom is putting things in the right order, and God comes first. That's wisdom. Why should God come first? Life is supposed to be about God. We saw in the first week of our series, that's Solomon's conclusion after wrecking his life. He's like, oh, my life was supposed to be about God. And God is the only one who loves us perfectly. Like, what you want in life is you want to be loved. You're never going to find perfect love anywhere but God. And God's really the only one who deserves to be first. If we don't put God first, what happens is everything gets messed up. Right? You'll put something else in that first buttonhole. It might be your spouse, might be your job, might be your kids. They can't handle the pressure of being the most important thing in your life. Nobody can. Like, that is going to be a mess. And then everything else ends up messed up because you put the first button wrong, everything follows, right? Wise people put God first. And so, like, they do things like they make it a priority to start every day with God. They make it a priority to start every week with God by going to church. They make God first with their finances. When they make decisions, they consult with God. God's first. All right. So that's wisdom, like, on paper. That's what wise people do. But let's think about, like, real life. Like, how would our lives look different if we decided, okay, I'm going to choose wisdom? Well, if we started living wise lives, how would some parts of our lives be different? So, for instance, let's think about wisdom in relationships. Okay, like, what if we are wise in our love lives? And let's be honest, whether we're young or old, married or single, male or female, sometimes we haven't been, right? Sometimes we're not. And there's wisdom that our culture gives us on this one. Our culture says, do what feels right. If it feels good, do it. Like, if you're single, I mean, it's just sex. It's just physical. It's just bodies. Like, if you want it, go for it. As one of our wise cultural philosophers said, you and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel, right? It's like that's what we're just mammals. Just do it with whoever you want. Or if you're married, and you're not getting what you need at home, life is short, have an affair. That's wisdom. Now, some would say, no, you should wait till you're ready. Do you know what that is? That's really bad advice. Really bad advice. God says you're ready when you have committed yourself to one person for life. And thinking you're ready before that is ignoring the consequences of your actions. It's ignoring the pain that you're going to end up in and that you're going to cause to another person or people. Honestly, if we were to look back at our lives, I bet you for a lot of us, we would say that some of our deepest hurts come because we had a relationship where we rejected God's wisdom. And if we could just go back and follow God's wisdom in that relationship, we would have saved ourselves and this other person, maybe other people, a lot of hurt. And if we realize that's true in our past, well, then let's not like repeat and make the same mistakes again and mount up more regrets. Like, let's choose wisdom. Like, let's live out God's will. Here's God's will. So there's this book in the Bible called 1 Thessalonians. If you ever get the chance, Thessalonians is a fun word to say. If you want, I would let you say it right now. If you have a lisp, it's going to hurt. Okay, but Thessalonians... First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 tell us God's will. It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Let's pause there. What does sanctified mean? The word sanctified literally means to be pulled out and set apart. That's what it means. So the idea is, like, everybody lives a certain way, but when you choose God and his will, he's going to kind of pull you out of what's normal, out of what everybody else does, and set you apart to live a different way, a better way, okay? So it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the pagans who do not know God. The word pagan, literally, it just means someone who doesn't know God. So, man, the world may say that God's wisdom for relationships is old-fashioned. But old-fashioned is not a label that wise people worry about. I mean, it's old-fashioned to look both ways before you cross the streets. But you do it because you don't want to get hurt, right? It's smart. Old-fashioned is besides the point. The point is, who made us? What were we made for? Who knows us best? Who loves us enough to tell us the best way to live? What if we listened to him? What if we were wise? What if we made our relational decisions that show true, mature, selfless love instead of being based on a passionate lust for immediate pleasure in this moment? Really, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't our lives be better? And I realize probably some of you are thinking, well, you know what? That's your opinion. Or, that's just what the Bible says. No, it's actually not. This is documented fact. Like, you can't argue with it. You really can't. So there's been research that's proven time and time again, for instance, that people who have sex prior to or outside of marriage are more likely to break up or get divorced. In fact, research has proven that if you have sex with someone prior to marriage, you're kind of testing out the sexual partnership, right? The chances of divorce increase in that marriage by 75%. That's just true. It's also been proven that people who have sex before or outside of marriage are twice as likely to, in a relationship, experience physical abuse, emotional abuse, anxiety, or depression. That was reported in the Journal of Family Violence. It's documented fact. Research has also proven that people who have sex prior to or outside of marriage are more likely in their lives to be sexually dissatisfied and to experience guilt and sexual inhibitions. That was proven in a study done by the University of Connecticut and UCLA. In fact, studies have revealed, to the shock of the researchers, that the most satisfied group of people in America sexually are married, conservative, Christian couples. It's been proven. Not swingers, not single people, not porn stars, but married, conservative, Christian couples. Apparently, if the minivan with the Jesus fish symbol on the back is a rockin', don't come a knockin'. What if we chose wisdom? What about this? What about wisdom in parenting? For those of us who have kids, and half of us probably don't, but you know, we try hard, but man, sometimes we do unwise things as parents, right? Like, I think back to when my son was just born. He was maybe like a couple weeks old, and I held him up, and I said, look at the big boy, and he threw up in my mouth. It seemed like such a good idea at the time. Turned out not very wise. More seriously, though, you know, there are a lot of things that parents do that seem smart. It's like everybody does it. It's what we do in our culture, but maybe they're not wise. For instance, we push our kids to be engaged in all kinds of activities and to excel in everything. That may not be horrible parenting, but it may not be wise. We make school, doing well in school, a priority over being involved in church and student ministry, youth group kind of stuff. It's like, do we really think that being successful in this 75-year life is more important than their eternity? Really? We emphasize having fun and being entertained over doing what's right and learning to serve and make a difference with their lives. We expose them to entertainment with sexual themes that are not really appropriate to their age, or encourage them that if they are going to have sex, they should use protection, all of which gives the impression that sex before marriage is normal. It's in the movies I watch. It's in the TV shows I watch. Everyone's doing it. And listen, if you set that low of a standard, your kids will meet it. They'll live out that standard. Listen to what Solomon says about parenting in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. He says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I don't know that that's a guarantee or a promise, but you're certainly improving your odds if you consistently point your kids to God and His loving guidelines for their lives. Man, parenting is not easy. It's confusing. No one gives you an owner's manual, but what you do have is a God who loves you and who loves your kids even more than you do, and who has given you this book of wisdom so that you can know how to talk to your kids, how to listen to your kids, how to discipline your kids, how to show your kids love and grace and forgiveness when they mess up. What if we could lay our heads on our pillows every night and know that we were wise moms and wise dads who gave our kids the very best chance we could at living a good life and spending eternity in heaven? Wouldn't that be worth anything and everything? Like, wouldn't it be worth whatever it takes to get wisdom and pass it down to our kids? One more just practical. Let's think about what our lives would look like. What if we were wise in the way that we handled stress? Because the truth is, often we're not very wise in how we handle stress, and it's killing us. Perhaps literally. Did you know that more men die suddenly of heart disease on Monday than on any other day of the week? It's true. It was reported in the Journal of American Medical Association. And your heart also knows about TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, because that's the work day when the fewest men die of heart attacks. So check this out. They did a long-term study of nearly 4,000 men, and they found that twice as many die on Mondays of heart attacks than on Fridays. But here's what's really interesting. For men who have no history of heart disease, okay, so it wasn't like it was growing, it's just like it was a sudden kind of thing. Monday was particularly dangerous. Among the group of people who had no prior heart disease issues, nearly three times as many men die of heart attacks on Monday than on the other 6 days of the week combined. That's crazy. It's like we all carry burdens, right? We all reach a point eventually where it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is all going to come together. And then we head off on Monday to another stressful week of work. And at some point, it's like, it's too much. And maybe for you, it's not work. Maybe for you, your stress comes from a relationship or parenting or school or finances. So where do you turn when the stress becomes too much? A lot of us turn inward. Right? It's like, you know what? I just got to power through. Like, I got to muster up the strength to just power through what I'm going through. What other choice do I have? Others of us turn to something that we hope will help us forget what we're struggling with or feel some other emotion other than stress and anxiety. And so it might be something you drink. It might be something you pop. It might be something you look at, you watch. Listen, I'm not trying to pour guilt on you. Like, that's the very last thing you need. Okay? I'm not doing that. What I am trying to tell you is this. It doesn't have to be that way. If that's the life you're living, you don't have to continue living that way. Let me ask you this. When you're stressed, when you're kind of replaying all the things that need to get done or all the bills that need to get paid or maybe you're self-medicating or maybe you're remembering everything or you're trying to forget everything. When you're stressed, have you ever had a time where you hear a voice? I don't mean an audible voice. I mean like the silent whisper. And it seems to be calling you to a life beyond your circumstances, like to have a different perspective on how you look at everything going on in your life. Have you ever felt that? Solomon tells us that voice is wisdom calling to us. Listen to what he says in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. He says, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, 'To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right.'" Have you heard that voice calling you to live beyond your circumstances, beyond your normal way of responding to and handling stress? That's the voice of wisdom. Really, that's the voice of God. So, like, what if instead of turning inward, what if when you felt stressed, you chose wisdom and turned upward? Instead of just feeling overwhelmed or maybe trying to just ignore and your feelings, what if you turned to the one who loves you and can help you deal with your feelings and help you to live in a way that you have a peace instead of feeling overwhelmed all the time? What if you chose wisdom? You know, what's so funny, what's so sad, is Solomon had all this wisdom. He gave us an entire book of really incredible wisdom, and at one point in his life, he chose to reject it instead of living by it. He made the choice, I'm going to live by my own thinking and my own desires and what my culture tells me instead of what God did. So I want to end by asking you a question But first, I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's actually a story that Jesus told. So Jesus told this story once about two people who build houses. Okay, they each build a house, and one of them builds the house on a rock foundation. And we're going to let this tray represent the rock foundation. And so he builds on this rock foundation, and Jesus calls this particular builder a wise builder. Okay, the other chooses, and I don't know if you can see this, but there's sand. The other chooses to build on a sand foundation. And so in the same way, he builds a house, but instead of on rock, he chooses to build his house on sand. And Jesus actually calls this particular builder a foolish builder, because just like the other guy, he had to choose to build his house, but he chose to build his house on sand. And here's what happens. Eventually, Jesus says, a storm comes. And the truth is, storms always come. Right? Storms come into every house, into every life. And Jesus says when the storm hit, what happened is the house built on rock stood firm, and the house that was built on the sand collapsed. I'm really glad that worked. And Jesus says the whole thing was a metaphor. He says, you know, we all have a choice because we're all building our lives, right? Decision by decision, choice by choice, you and I, we're building our lives. And we all are going to build our lives on something. He says, some people are wise builders. They choose to build their lives on God and his wisdom, on the solid rock, the solid foundation of God and his wisdom. And then there are other people who are foolish builders, and they choose to build on a shaky foundation of their own wisdom, of what their culture tells them. They're foolish builders. So here's the question I want to end with. What kind of builder will you be? All right, today you're building your life. What kind of builder will you be? If you want to not wreck your life, choose wisdom. Here's what we're going to do. Our band's going to play one more song, and you can listen to the song. You can sing if you want, but I want to do this to give you time to think about what you heard and experienced today. Our hope for these services is that before you even leave, you'll start thinking about how you need to apply it. And so we want to give you a couple minutes to think, to pray, if you pray, and think like, so what if I did this? What if instead of just saying, oh, it was good and it was interesting, what if I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live this way? What might need to change in your life? Okay? And so I would encourage you to think about that. Maybe make a decision today. During this time, we also have communion available. If you'd like to take it, communion's on the tables around the room. It's pieces of bread and cups of juice, and they represent the body and blood of Jesus given on the cross for us. And it's a way that every week we can remember and be thankful for what Jesus did for us and kind of recommit ourselves to a relationship with him and the relationship that we can have with God through faith in him and what he did on the cross. So if you'd like to take communion, you're welcome to do that. But today I've got one more thing you can do if you'd like to. I brought up a bunch of Sharpie markers and Jenga pieces, and I'm going to put them all over the stage. If you'd like during this time, if you're making a decision today, if you're like, you know what, I'm going to choose wisdom. I don't want to keep living the same life. I don't want to just keep on adding to my regrets. I don't want to wreck my life. If you want to choose wisdom, I want to encourage you to come up during this song. It'll be 3 or 4 minutes, and take a Jenga piece and write on it, choose wisdom, or I choose wisdom. And then bring that home with you, and you could put it wherever it might remind you of the choice that you made. You could put it in some place where maybe you think a lot or you pray or in your car dashboard or something. And so you're welcome to come up and do that if you'd like. So let's pray, and then we'll give you a couple minutes. And if you want to do communion, if you want to take one of those home with you, you can do that. All right, let's pray. God, what an amazing thing that we have this God who loves us unconditionally and offers us grace, because my guess is hearing about living a life of wisdom, probably all of us, certainly I feel a little guilty, a little sorrow. It's just like, man, if I could just go back. Like, I've just done so much wrong. I haven't lived according to your wisdom, God. And I have wrecked my life in a lot of ways. I've done damage to myself and others. But we have this God who looks at all of it and says, I love you despite anything you've done, despite any of your decisions. You love us perfectly and unconditionally, and I thank you. And not only do you love us and want to forgive us, you give us a second chance at life. Through our faith in you and through our faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, we get to start again. And you give us wisdom so that we can live a better life and stop mounting up regrets that we're going to have later. So God, I pray today that we would make the choice, I choose wisdom. And that we would be serious, we would live that way, that we would start making our decisions saying, how do I put God first? How do I evaluate what the potential consequences are of my actions? I need to stop and think before I move forward. What would God say about this? What does God say about this? God, help us to choose wisdom so we don't wreck our lives. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.